Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good if evening. I felt any better, I'd have to see two doctors. That's how good I feel. My goodness golly, I'm going to give myself a big hand. You know why? I live in the state, besides of confusion, I live in the state that got the award today for the highest prices of gasoline per gallon in the United States of America. One more time, yes! California. Isn't that something?
That's my fabulous.
God. It's incredible, folks. We are a minimum of $2 more a gallon than any place else in this United States of America. Can you believe that? My God, what the hell is next? I just don't get it. And is it true? Is it true that when Biden took office, he discontinued the pipeline because, oh, we're never going to use that or need that? Dum-de-dum-dum-dum. Wrong. We could sure as hell use it now. And then somebody calls me up today and says, T. I says, what? Who is this? Oh, it's the Beard of Knowledge. The Beard of Knowledge tells me, I hear your governor is giving everybody in the state of California, I don't quote me for on this too good, but $250 a single person and $400 for a couple for that gasoline voucher. Can you believe this, folks? What in the hell is this world coming to? I don't get it. I just don't get it. The biggest money-making country in the world. And we've got to go and pay. Look, do the math, folks. Just do the math real easy. It's on the boob tube every day. Guy that's got a 25-gallon tank. 25-gallon. How much are they paying to fill up? Oh, over 100 and a quarter, 150 on some trucks? You bet your sweet life, folks. And if they're doing it twice a week, it's $1,000 a month. That's a good piece of change that you're paying out of your paycheck just to go from point A to point B and continue on and continue on. It's wrong. It is so wrong. The richest country in the world and the poor people that can barely make ends meet, we're going to be the ones that have to have it on our shoulders. Get with the program. Get with the program, powers to be. And Mr. Biden, if you have any crux to your platform, take care of those people who voted for you. I don't want to hear your bullshit stories no more. Give it to us where it counts, at the pump. Bring it down $2-3 for crying out loud. You spent all that other free money giving it to people from other countries. Take care of your own that voted for you. Take care of your own that's done for you. And you know what? They'll all give you that pat on the back, Mr. Biden. I've stifled myself for a long time. Now it's getting to the point that it's bothering me. It's hitting my pocket, okay? And if it's hitting my pocket, how many other pockets has it hit around the country? Lady Kim, how are you, darling?
I am doing great, Tom. I am doing great because I am in the state of Florida, another state of confusion, but our gas prices are not anywhere near yours.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy as hell. It's the craziest things I've ever in my life seen. Who do we have on with us tonight, honey?
Well, we have our special guest, who is Bobby Rico. He is from Arizona, from what I understand, and he is going to talk to us about some lizards or some other strange thing. Then we have the Swede is with us tonight, and he's doing great. And we have Father Ray on the line, and he's doing wonderful also from Arizona. We have Doyle, and I'm not sure if he is in Tennessee or Kentucky tonight. Then we have your wonderful self, the godfather of the Bigfoot. And then we have an unknown caller who I'm not quite sure. Should we find out who that is?
Just tell me the first three prefix.
It's 505-701.
Well, guess what? I'd be willing to bet you money marbles of chalk that is Chief Dan.
All right. Well, you want to say hello to Chief Dan?
Hell yeah. Put him on.
All right. Chief Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I win the booby prize. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
How are you there, Chief Dan?
I'm doing great.
Oh, great. I'm glad you joined us because after Bobby talks, I'm going to have you on. I want you to hear what he's found. And ladies and gentlemen, it's true, okay? And then we're going to have Caesar, our pilot for our drone. He's going to talk about the whole premise of the thing and how it goes. I'm going to have him come on about another 10 minutes, but I want to give Bobby his due. And Bobby, I believe that you're from Coyote County or Canyon. I don't know if Coyote Canyon is in Arizona, like she said, or it's there in New Mexico. But nevertheless,
yes,
why don't we bring Bobby on?
No.
Bobby.
Yes.
How are you, young man?
I'm doing good.
Good, Bobby. Now, are you in New Mexico or Arizona?
New Mexico.
So you are in NM. That's good. All right. Excuse our mistake, because sometimes that's what happens. By the way, I know that you've heard this story about this lizard that runs on its hind legs upright and it's frilled out, meaning like it's a fan on its head, and it spits toxins or venomous spit at its prey. Is that pretty much close to the story?
Yes, it is true.
Okay. Now, how tall is this thing when it stays on its hind legs?
The biggest one I have seen stood about a foot and a half.
Okay. Now, that's a pretty big one. Now, let me tell you my research, because I would be dismayed if I didn't do some research on this thing. It's actually called the frilled lizard, Chamadosaurus kinjai. That's the small one. And then they have the Dilophosaurus frilled lizard dinosaur back in the day. And I'm wondering, Bobby, if that one has some way made its way back somehow or didn't die off because of the regions where they come from. And if that's the case, you people can go online and take a look at this. It's Dilophosaurus, frilled lizard dinosaur. And you see what these things were up against for other large dinosaurs. And this thing was pretty damn big, Bobby.
Nah.
I'm wondering now if this is something that, you know, is... you know where these things originated, by the way?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Actually, where I have seen it at is a place called Torreon, New Mexico, where my grandmother lives on my dad's side. And when we saw, well, actually, there was like about six of them that we were teasing when we were kids, and they ran after us. And
it's kind of scary, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. When I look back, I seen they were running on their hind legs.
That's right.
And
that's
this is when I was a child, when I was probably like 12 years old.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this, Bobby. Did, since you were a child, have you heard anything more about those things or seen them anywhere else?
I've never seen them anywhere else. Since then, but they are still around where my grandmother lives out in Torreon, New Mexico. They are still out there because there's a lot of shale and rock and sandstone out there. It's really,
okay,
really desert-like.
Bobby, are you with one of our indigenous tribes?
Yes, with the Navajo.
Which branch of the Navajo?
There's only one branch, Navajos. The net.
Well, in New Mexico.
I'm okay. Meaning by my clan, I'm Kitlachikni.
Okay.
My dad's side, and my mother's side is Tabayan.
Edgewater.
Fantastic.
Yes. Well, you know, we have Chief Leonard Dan with us tonight, and he's half Apache, half Navajo, by the way. And he's one of our elders, and he's been on many expeditions with us. I want to call him on with us right now. Dan, are you out there?
I'm here.
Okay. Have you heard about the frilled lizard?
Oh, yes. I've seen them around in my area.
You have?
What they do is if you edge or tease them with a stick or something or a string, that they'll run after you. And if they catch up with you, they'll run up between inside your pants legs and they'll stick to your legs.
Is that
and
right?
You pull your pants down, you try to peel them off. And
is
if you
that
do,
right? Okay, so my big question is this, Chief Dan and Bobby. Do you think that these things could be a descendant from these dinosaurs hundreds of thousands of years ago?
Oh, yes,
I think so.
You think so, Bobby?
Yes.
There's a lot of species out here where we live, and we see a lot of strange types of like lizards, maybe snakes, and other insects in our area, Four Corners.
It's pretty incredible. Well, you know what? I think I would be scared to beat hell if I was laying down and bunking at night and didn't have my face covered, and all of a sudden the moonlight came by, and all of a sudden I seen this thing go, and it frills out its thing around its face, and you see those damn teeth. You know, you think you were in one of those dinosaur movies. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but I got to tell you, when Father Ray told me the story, and then I did a little research, and I couldn't believe him. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, just go to Google search and just put that in there, Dilophosaurus, frilled lizard dinosaur, and they were pretty damn big back in them days. So we're not talking about 6 inches, 8 inches, 12 inches, 2 feet. We're talking about 3 to 5 feet tall. And these things, when they run, they seem, because I saw one in motion, it seemed like they run fast as hell. What was the one that looked like that you saw, Bobby?
Well, like I said, it was like a foot and a half tall, like a light green, but his underbelly was white like a lizard. And the thing about this one is when we got it mad, his neck kind of flared up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of unusual. We never seen a lizard do that before.
So you said it actually ran after you guys, right?
Yes, it did.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, 'cause I saw a video of it today, and it just blew me away. You know who I want to bring in on this, guys? I got to tell you, because I think so much of them. And by the way, we have Caesar, the drone pilot. He's going to be coming on with us in a couple of more minutes. This is such an amazing subject, ladies and gentlemen. I want to keep it going, but I want to bring the Beard of Knowledge on. Sweet, are you there?
I am, Tom.
What do you think of this?
Well, first thing, good evening to everybody on the show. I'm glad everybody could make it. I hope everybody's doing well. And, you know, I'm the lizard thing with the frills as a – yeah, it's definitely that. It's definitely out there, and I know about the I did not know the name. We called it a frilled lizard or frilled dinosaur, you know, from the past, Tom, what you're talking about. But the deal with the frilling is in the desert climate, they use it for a cooling and a warming tool. They spread it out and let it absorb heat during the morning when it's cold from the night. And when it gets super hot during the day, they use it like a big radiator to cool down. And the running, well, of course, it's also a threat tool. You know, they make themselves larger to predators or whatever, or, you know, as a defense mechanism, they'll puff it out, you know, make themselves look bigger. And that running on the back leg is an adaptation of, again, for running across the smoking hot sand. They can run faster on two legs than they can go on four. And that's kind of the theory. But I tell you, I don't think I want one jumping on me. And if he spits any kind of nasty smoking hot tobacco juice on me, he's going to end up dead.
I got to tell you, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I admire this man and respect him so much. Just common sense-wise, if you listen to his verbiage and what he says, it just stands to be the truth, okay? You know, and when you heard him say that they're running like hell with their back feet because, you know, it's 126 degrees out there in the desert, and that sand absorbs that damn heat, or the sand, you know, the sandstone or the rocks that are out there, you know, just picture yourself. It's been beaten on down there by the sun, and the rocks, of course, what's that rock that absorbs the heat? You see it at night with the infrared, Swede?
Slate and
limestone.
Limestone, that's it.
Limestone, that's too.
If the beard of knowledge don't have it, the chief does. Boy, you guys are amazing. So, because and let me tell you the reason why, folks, is because when we used to use our thermal imager at night, we'd see that the heat from the day been absorbed by these stones, and we're saying, what the hell are these illuminated things out there? And then when we found them, of course, there'd be large boulders and what have you, whether it be limestone or the other one. And yes, it absorbs that heat. So therefore, what are we finding under these rocks or on top of these rocks? You ever hear of a snake? What does a snake do? They sun themselves during the day, don't they? And where do you find them? On these ledges, out on these stones, because they feel that heat in their body. They're pretty smart creatures, aren't they? Bobby, I got to tell you, buddy, number one, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with Father Ray, because when Father Ray told me about this, I guess it was through your sister, and I said, gosh, we got to have him on the show, because it's just phenomenal, man. And then when you go look this stuff up, and that's when I told Ray, I said, you know, if anybody else in that area knows anything about this, it's got to be Chief Dan. And, of course, as usual, he does know a lot of it. And the Beard of Knowledge. The only one that I haven't talked to on this, which I know he's going to have something to say, is Brother Doyle down there in Tennessee. Doyle, what's your take on this? You there, Doyle? Lady
Doyle,
Kim, is he on?
Are you there, Tom?
There you are. Fantastic.
Okay.
Have you been hearing this conversation?
Oh, I know all about it. We're down here, we call it the Mexican beaded lizard.
You call it the Mexican what?
Beaded lizard.
So,
and you don't
mess
with that
sun
beam. You
don't because
mess
of the jumping beams, are you?
No, I'm dead serious.
All right, tell us your version and what is
my life. I thought everybody knew about the Mexican beaded lizard. Not only does it run on its hind legs, but it perfectly balances itself by swaying its tail while it's running.
How big are they down there?
Oh, about 8-9 feet. No, I'm just teasing. About 12 inches.
About how long?
About 12 inches.
12 inches. So it corroborates what Bobby said and what Chief Dan says for sure.
Now, I'll tell you what ours look like. Is they have a green outer skin, and somebody a while ago said with a white belly. But ours have a distinct red spots all over their back. And they're kind of raised up, like almost like a wart or something, but they're red on that green. And I think it's because they've adapted to camouflage themselves to the foliage here in the mountains.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I knew all about that whenever you first mentioned it. I just never opened my mouth.
How old were you when you had this
for me
to run in?
I'm sorry?
How old were you when you had your first run in with one of these critters?
Probably 5 or 6.
And what'd you think?
Probably about the same time I had my first run-ins with copperheads and rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You got rabbit snakes. We got gopher snakes.
No, we got the bad boys. We got them timber rattlers down here.
Mm-hmm,
them timber rattlers, them Alabama canebreakers are the bad boys.
Is that
I'm
right?
I'll take I'll take a Texas or an Arizona rattlesnake any day over one of these Kentucky Timberwoods rattlers. These things are mean.
Somebody told me that they're real thick and long. Are they?
They are about, on average, about, the big ones are about 4 to 5 feet long. Or you couldn't wrap two hands around them.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And how toxic is their bite?
Deadly.
Deadly.
If you do not seek medical attention,
really
I know a few people. I know a few people that have survived a rattlesnake bite without medical attention because of the religion of snake handling here in the Appalachians. And a few people have survived. I think it was purely on faith, and it was God's will they survived. But 99% of people who get bit by rattlesnakes don't get immediate medical attention down here. They'll be dead within 24 hours.
You know, when you mentioned the bit about, like, you thought there were warts and they were red, this question is for Chief Dan and for Bobby. Bobby and Chief Dan, do you know what a Gila monster is?
Yes. Oh, yes. But I was going to mention that we call ours Gila monsters.
Yes.
They move at night. Yeah. They can bite. They can chew through your leather boots.
They
to get
can?
To your toe and bite it. Yeah.
So are they toxic? Are their bites toxic?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're very toxic.
Bobby, you ever run across any of them?
Yes, I have. Yes. We already know what that was, and we never mess with it. We just watch them lay. We just watch them lay on the rocks and absorb all the heat.
What do you do now for a living, Bobby?
I'm retired. I'm a retired iron worker.
You sound like a young whippersnapper.
Well, 50 years old, 52 to be exact.
That's young. That's young. And to retire, you've done well for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I really can't wait to get out there. And this will take us segued into our next segue of our next portion. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you I was going to have our pilot, our drone pilot, Caesar, come on with us tonight. He's going to come on right now because you guys are going to meet him out there in the field. This guy is amazing. When I tell you amazing, believe me, amazing. He's not only a drone pilot. He's an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter. You got something wrong with your car, he'll fix your car. A painter. He's a jack of all trades and a master of none. But the thing that really caught my eye was how he can operate this drone. And we were sitting there talking one day, and he says to me, "Hey, Tom, no sweat, man." He's like, "I can get an adapter on my drone, you can use your infrared, the ones that you got." And he says, I can bring it up to anywhere between 10 and 20,000 feet high and go out a radius of 5 to 10 miles so you guys don't have to put boots on the ground, and we'll find out exactly where this thing is." And he gets the thing out, and he showed me, he's got the screen there where we were, where he was flying it, and oh my God, and at nighttime, you see it's like daytime because it's infrared, and anything that's going to glow, have any blood running through it, it's going to be captured on the screen. So I think this is a great segue to, you know, without any further ado, let's get Caesar on the phone with us. Caesar, you out there?
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Hey buddy. Listen, I hope you've been listening to what's been going on here tonight. It's been kind of interesting. It really has. And who would have thunk it, ladies and gentlemen? The first half hour is gone. History, kaput, goodbye. Yes, because of the great subject matter. People like Bobby, people like Doyle and Chief Dan, the Swede without the bearded knowledge. We haven't brought in Father Ray yet because I am, and he's going to come with us here in a minute or two. But it's such a fascinating world with these drones. How long have you been flying drones, Caesar?
Well, the longest I could remember was when I was 19 as I started flying them. And ever since, I've been just kind of messing around with them. And it's been actually just a hobby for me at the moment. But in the future, I believe it might be a career or so for me.
Okay. So what enamored you? What made you say, ooh, I want to make this my career because of?
Yeah, so my idol for it is basically Mr. Steele. He actually got me really into drones, and I looked into it, and it looked really cool because, like, when you're flying these drones, the thing is, it's like flying a spaceship into space, and, like, in the sky, you're just flying, like, all over, and it just feels amazing when you're just looking through the camera and flying through the air and just looking through all over the, like, neighborhoods, you know, the beautiful sceneries, the beautiful mountains, the beautiful trees, the whole area of the world, you know?
I do know, and I'm grasping it, and I know that I'm this is the first time that you've ever been on radio and asked these questions, and probably when you get on the drone nerd world, you know, you guys have so much to say about where you're going, what you're doing, and how you're doing it. So my question to you is, how confident are you that we bring you out on our expeditions, that we get out into this rural territory and territory that really hasn't been explored? Because ladies and gentlemen around the world, there's a ton of it right here in the United States that has not been explored, okay? And you get out there and you fire this thing up and you go up in the air over the canopy of these trees and in the darkness. How confident are you that we can maybe score one the first couple of nights?
I'm very confident, Tom.
I love it. I love it. Words to my ears. This is, ladies and gentlemen, I love positive people. You can't lose with the stuff that they use because it's called reality. They know what they're doing. They're confident. Now, do you have to base the air? Is it thinner up on top? Is it, you know, heavier up on top? Do you have to apply more spin power if it's raining versus cloudy versus sun? You have to know all that, right?
Sure. You definitely need to know all that.
Okay.
You know,
but
when it rains, sorry?
Yeah. Go ahead. If it rains, what?
Well, when it rains, it's not a good idea to fly the drone because if any of the mechanics get wet, it will fry any chip or it would just ruin the whole drone, and then that's thousands of dollars you just wasted like that. And on top of that, you got to be very careful around the terrain, around the area. Like, you got to watch out for trees. You got to watch out for branches, you know, leaves. If you hit any of that, it could damage the drone. And then you got to replace the parts. But in that case, you always have to carry parts with you, you know, because that, any accident could happen. But for me, I'm a professional. I don't need to worry about that because the areas that we go usually is very high and we just don't really go into that deep in the areas. It's more of like a visual scenery.
Yeah, here's a question that just came in from Courtney. Courtney says, hi, Mr. B, please say hello to Caesar and ask him this question. The question is, what was your most exciting slash horrifying experience flying a drone?
Well, my first time ever building a drone was the most excitement I ever had in my life. You know, when I first got it to be built and then flying up in the air, it was just the best feeling ever. Because the thing about drones, it's a hard and dedicated work environment where you have to sit down and know a lot about them and you have to read about them. And it's just so much knowledge you have to get into it. It's a big deal when you're into it, you know, and just absorbing all that information, it just feels amazing.
Here's one here. This is from Chastity. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Chastity says, for the first time, if you get out there with Mr. Biscardi and his team in the brush and you sight one of these things, are you going to shit your pants? That's exactly what she said. I just read it to you. Will he shit his pants?
Oh, no, no, never. If anything, I'll actually run towards it.
I like that. I like that. I love the answers. That's the stuff that gets me my adrenaline pumped. What I really want to do is I want to take the old generation like myself to ask you some questions, and I'm going to take the younger generations like Bobby, because you're the youngest one out there besides Bobby. Let's go to Chief Dan. Chief Dan, what's your take on these new drones?
I think it's a good machine to have. You know, you can fly it up through the canyons and see or get right on top of a deep canyon. You can see everything instead of walking it on foot. Because on foot, you'll miss a lot of details of the landscape or creatures that's out there. You'll miss that on foot. But with a drone, you see everything.
No, I totally agree with you, man. I'm all for that. I really am. And I think any particular question that you have for Caesar?
I'd like to see that drone work in one of these days when we all get together on an expedition.
Well, guess what?
Mark
your calendar because it's coming up on next month, and hopefully by the 20th we'll be out of here, and Caesar will be with us. And I'll tell you this, I can't wait myself, okay? And all the guys that are going to be out there with us, I know that they're going to be tickled pink, and we're going to see it because I'm hopefully going to do a show live, on that night, our first night, because I want everybody in on it to feel the intensity, the great things that are going to happen. Thanks for your questions and your two cents on that, Chief Dan. Now let's go to Bobby, our new guy. Bobby, you out there?
Yes.
What do you think of drones, Bobby?
I think they're a great technology that they came up with. You know, we use them in warfare, and they use them for looking for people, like in the police department. They use that also, cover more ground faster. And I sure could use one. I like to find out who's stealing my sheep.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll come out by your ranch and spend a couple of nights out there, and we'll post guard and see if we can get any pictures of them. How do you like that? Yeah, did you hear me at all, Bobby?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I said maybe on our way out to New Mexico, we'll spend a couple of days out there by your ranch and find out who's stealing those sheep. Okay?
Oh, sounds good.
All right, now listen, you mentioned something about the law offices and enforcement, law enforcement. Let's get our ex and always cop on the line now. Doyle? What do you think about the drones?
Well, Tom, I told you we were on the show a while back, and remember I took my Kentucky A team down there to Florida when my buddies called and said there were a lot of sightings of skunk ape, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever they want to call it down there. And we use drones. My son is an aerospace dude, and he builds drones. And I was telling you on that story that we had two drones in flight that night with thermal imagers on them. And we were using those to track my team that were in what they call the forest. I still call it a swamp. But we were tracking, and we saw on the thermal imagers those three things I said that were looking at the thermal imaging on the screen. They were like three things that were like twice or three times the size of my boys that were out there approaching these things. And like I told you, it was like an NFL football play. When they got within like 12 or 15 yards in this thick swamp,
you know, and my boys are up to their knees in mud and goo and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, these three things broke like a formation. One went left, one went right up the middle and got out of range. But we were flying two drones, one over each team. I had two teams out there in the forest, and we were just west of Cape Tell in Florida. And you know, these are drones my son built. And we had another one of his cousins that was actually piloting both drones at the same time. So, yeah, we've been using drones for a while.
And you found out that it's advantageous.
Oh, yes. I mean, if you've got a drone, you've got hands above anybody else in any kind of tactical or any kind of situation. And, I mean, they're useful for everything. I mean, they're amazing. My son told me a long time ago when he started building these things, when his aerospace instructors were teaching him, there were only two schools in Kentucky that had aerospace engineering in high school. And he was lucky enough to go to one of those. And he got enrolled in the program and spent his entire high school career taking aerospace technologies and all that. And drones were a big part of that. And I wish he were here right now. It just so happened on Monday I bought him a new sports car, Camaro, and he's not let one dirt road in four counties go unseen without him going sideways on that thing. And he's not here right now because him and his buddies out there chasing some little fillies out around in this new sports car I bought him. And he's loving every minute of that. But I would give anything if he were here and I could put him on and let him talk to Caesar about the drones. Because those guys will get along like gangbusters.
Oh, and I'm sure that they're going to hook up when we get down there by you also. Without any further ado, I want to bring back the Beard of Knowledge. Let's get his take on these drones. Swede, you out there?
I am. I'm listening, Tom.
What do you think?
Oh, I think the drone is a wonderful thing. I was going to tell Caesar he was describing his experience and his euphoria of flying and going here and this, that, and the other, and revert back to the old farts like me and you say, that's a bird's eye view is what you're experiencing, a bird's eye view.
Yes, he
and
is.
You see it all. He sees it all. You can see it all with the drone. It's a wonderful thing. Pretty amazing, the adapters and the amount of payload that they can carry now, the battery life and all that. It's got a lot better. It's not a toy. It's definitely a working piece of equipment, just like anything else. And if you can master it and control it and make it do what it's supposed to do, I think it could be really a really good thing for research. And I have no doubt that probably already there's been some footage that has been brought to light, or maybe not has been brought to light, that's been attained by a drone with in daylight photographs of Bigfoot. I'm sure the only thing I have an issue about drone is some people like to invade private airspace, and they're great pieces of equipment, but they won't hold up to a heavy load, an ounce and a quarter of birdshot. I can tell you that.
I hope everybody around the globe heard that.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what else they're good for, too, Tom, is they're good for picking up girls for teenagers on the beach.
Oh, gee, yeah. I guess you're right there.
My little boy was buzzing girls on the beach with his drones, and he would bring the drone back when he found a cute girl, and he'd write down, hey, you're good looking, let's meet, and then give the address to the house, the beach house we were renting. And he would fly that thing and drop it down right to them and let them peel that stick-em note off of the drone. And by golly, they showed up.
So now we'll just call the drone has a new attachment. It's called the dating game. I love it.
You can't be buzzing girls on the beach with that, son. And he's like, Dad, it works. He said, this ain't old school.
You know, we haven't heard from Father Ray, and by golly, if this topic tonight, if it wasn't for Father Ray, we wouldn't have had it. Father Ray, you out there with us?
Yes, I am.
What a hell of a show, and thank you for it, because you were the one that instigated this show. What do you think about all this stuff going on with these running lizards and the drones that we got coming our way? What's your say on it?
there are many things in God's world that we don't know about, and we're still discovering. So, I would think that God has a sense of humor, and he's probably looking to say, you thought you were so smart. I can show you something you haven't seen yet. But, yes, these lizards, they're real. I've not encountered one. I've not encountered one personally. But yeah, they're real. And are they descendants from dinosaurs? It's possible. It's possible, but where were they hiding? How did they survive the meteor crash of 65 million years ago? Hey, crocodiles and mosquitoes are from prehistoric times. So, okay. And the drones, wonderful things. Yes, they can be abused and invade privacy. I wouldn't recommend buzzing girls on the beach.
But your banter at times just kills me. It's just wonderful. You know what? I've never asked my co-host this. What's her thoughts on this tonight? Lady Kim, tell us.
Well, you know, drones are the new thing. They were doing, actually at the church that Warren's playing at, they were doing instructions on that. And people out here in Florida were getting hired out for $30 an hour starting being able to operate drones. So I think it's the way of the future.
How much an hour?
30. And 30. For Florida, that's pretty darn good.
Okay, you know, as you got into that part, and I'm glad you said that, is, ladies and gentlemen around the globe, everybody's been asking me about electric technicians. In other words, people, you know, you got carpentry world, you got plumbers, you got painters, you got the whole gambit, right? I had the honor of talking to a gentleman named Glenn Arbin, A-R-B-I-N, and he's local IBEW 617, International Brotherhood of Electrician Workers. And my God, the things that they've got out there for our young people, our younger generation, they've got an electrician's apprentice program. Now, listen to me really intensely because I'm going to give you some numbers. If you can pass an aptitude test, you pass the interview, and you have passed the hands-on test, the AEP, they put you in a two-year AEP program at $45.50 an hour. That's here in California. That means $45.50 an hour as an apprentice. When you become, after those 2 years, you become a journeyman, the pay with benefits is $100 an hour. So after they take this, that, and the other thing, you're getting a base of actually 70 because $19 an hour goes to your pension and the best benefits in the world, okay? And I've got to tell you, I had received so many calls from people, and believe it or not, Caesar is one of them that got he was interested in, and Caesar has his number, and any of you people out there who wants to know how to get a hold of Glenn and how to get into the program, just do that. I wanted to pass it on to a lot of our folks and our listeners around the globe because this guy, Glenn, has his, you know, his ear to the ground, and he knows the people who really want to get into this profession, and he's willing to help from the bottom floor up to the top. And he was just a classy dude, man. So we'll find out about that, too, on some of the shows. And I guess Caesar's going to be going into that program, and or try to anyway, and we'll see and find out his accomplishments. So now let's go revert back to the original guy that's flying the drone, and that's Caesar himself. Caesar, after you heard little tidbits from the Swede, from Bobby, from Father Ray, from Doyle, Chief Dan, Lady Kim, and myself, what do you think the future of a drone is?
Well, I think the future of the drones is going to be great. You know, I can see a lot of opportunities for it, as in for deliveries in mail, for sure, for military, for sure, for others, as like for like surveillance. And then also, it's another safe way for you to go sightseeing. You know, if you would like to go see a mountain lion without you being endangered, you can go and use your drone and actually see it without being in harm's way.
You know, you just mentioned something, and the light went on in my head. And all you guys out there that's on our line tonight, I want your take on it also. Because I just heard about this not too long ago, maybe within the last year, about drones delivering your packages to your doors. Has anybody heard about that? Apparently not. I guess I'm the only one.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So you guys have heard about it?
Yes.
I think, am I online? I think that some of the bigger delivery services like UPS and FedEx are already experimenting with that.
You know, I think you may be right, Doyle, because they're finding it out that it's a lot cheaper and very and done very expeditiously. You know what? I really need to ask the Beard of Knowledge. Swede, what do you think of that idea?
Walmart's already enacted it. You know, Walmart's corporate office is here in Northwest Arkansas, their headquarters for operations. They've got a food purchasing thing up to so many pounds, and they'll fly that drone right to your front door and drop the box.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
Wow. I mean, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is, 2022, and back in 1965, I remember the Jetsons, those of you who remember the Jetsons who are that old. You remember that, Chief Dan?
This boy,
oh,
boy.
Yes.
You remember?
Awesome.
Yeah, of course we did. And here that stuff is coming to fruition today in 2022. Oh, my gosh. Ladies,
I remember.
What?
I remember the Jetsons.
Oh, of course you do, Father Ray. Anything that had to make light of the beautiful things in the world, I know that you're a walking encyclopedia. So would have you ever thunk it that we would have something like that delivering packages and food to your door?
I remember just today at work, we have a shift manager, and she was wearing what appeared to be a watch on her wrist, but it was showing digital messages were coming on her watch. It was a plain face. It was not a clock face. And I thought, I remembered Dick Tracy and his walkie-talkie talking to his watch.
Oh, my God, you're right. Oh, my God, you're right. Go ahead, continue.
Well, my father used to read the comics to me when I was 3-4 years old, and with Dick Tracy, but that seemed science tech. It wasn't, but people talking to their watches now, as Dick Tracy did.
Boy, you're exactly right, Ray. And by the way, Lady Kim just said to me, Tom, please let everybody know. I just looked it up. They call it the horned lizard or the horned dinosaur. So thank you, Lady Kim, on that, by the way. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this has just been blowing my mind to see how everything has evolved. And by the way, Father Ray, I need you to pray not only for the world peace, but for the people there in Arkansas. They just had a double tornado. Let's find out from the beard of knowledge, how things are coming over there. And then I want you to end the show with a beautiful prayer for everybody and hopes that everything gets copacetic. Beard of Knowledge, tell us how things are going after that thing hit the last couple of days.
Had a pretty good time. Everybody's pulling together. Tyson's Food, all of the Walmart bunch. Everybody's got the hot meals going on. A lot of people are displaced. Their houses got flattened out and major damage, flooding. There are some full-size industry buildings, big metal buildings with multiple thousand square foot just flattened out and blown across all the metal into all the infrastructure onto the electric and all, 15,000 out of power. But fortunately, only 8 were taken to the hospital, 1 with severe injuries, and no one lost their life. So at 4, I think it was around 4:15 this morning when it started to cross there, and 10 minutes later it had traveled about 3.5 miles and damaged a school and several businesses, including, you know, furniture stores. There's couches all over the place out on the highway. The Outback Steakhouses, you know, all that thing. It went through a very populated part of town for about 3.5 miles, and it did extensive damage. Thank God no one was killed, and everything can get put back together in time. And there's been a lot of big, large outpouring of people helping and providing shelter. We've got the Red Cross in there. The local churches have opened up their doors and set up temporary lodging for everybody. So, yeah, it's a big disaster, but everybody's coming together. So that's a good thing. And we kind of do that in Arkansas and this part of the world. Everybody's, you know, reaching out, trying to do something.
You know, God is good. You know, there's the old expression, the devil comes and takes away 5, but God comes back and lays down 6. So he makes up for the loss and adds 1, and he plants that seed for all of us to follow. And, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing situation. Father Ray, would you be kind enough to give us an exiting prayer for everyone?
Sure. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, loving Father, we are your children, and we turn to you. We ask you to look kindly upon the people of Arkansas. Thank you for that no one has lost their life in this natural disaster. And we don't know the reason why, but we know that you're with us, and we ask you to be with us and help and please, and you're bringing good out of it by people coming forward and offering to help in whatever way they can to help their neighbor. Help the people of Arkansas to get their lives back in order. Help the injured, heal them, touch their lives. And please bless them with good weather so that farmers and ranchers can begin their planting, begin take care of their cattle and sheep who will be dropping calves and ewes. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us all, shelter us, guide us, help us, Lord, to go forward in a sense of wonder, to know, to learn more about your good creation, things that we don't even know about, providing us with the ingenuity to put together wondrous machines, like a drone, to go and help and to find out the wonders of your creation and put it to service, helping to find lost people, injured people. Help us, Lord, to always act as your children, and help and love and help one another. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father and of
the Son and the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put a real quick P.S. and please, Heavenly Father, do something to end the terrible controversy that we're experiencing over there in Russia and the Ukraine. It's got to be stopped, and the only one that can do it is you. Bobby Swede, Father Ray Doyle, Chief Dan, and of course, Caesar, and where would I be without my co-host, Lady Kim? I love you guys. Till next time,
love
America,
you,
kudos and salutations.
Thank you, Father.
Good night.
Honor.
God bless everybody from Kentucky and Tennessee.
Good night. Good night, Tyson.
Thank you, Doyle. You too. Everybody have a great evening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless you from New Mexico.
God bless you from Florida. There we go. Hey, Doyle. We're off the air.
Hey, girl.
How you doing?
Hi, Father Ray.
Good show. Good show, you guys.
I thought it was a great show.
Yeah.
We went from top to bottom, from left to right, from lizards to drones to snakes to Bigfoot. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, I really
fire anybody that didn't even know anything about this. If they were listening to that, they'd been entertained.
There you go. All right, well, time to say goodnight. It's late here. I know it's late where you are, too. So until next time.
Oh, no, it's early for me.
Yeah, so the doctors, how's things going with that?
What's that, ma'am?
How's things going with the doctor?
I'm scheduled for surgery next Friday.
Okay.
And
they're
taking extra precautions. They're going to bring a special surgery team in, and they're going to have a ventilator on standby in case something goes wrong, and they're really taking precautions. I tell you, the University of Tennessee Medical Center, top notch. Those people don't play.
All right. Well, you enjoy. Take care of yourself. Praying for you, and God bless, okay?
All right. God bless you, girl.
Okay, take care. And the episode.
Good night.
Good night.